Hello, everyone. I'm Jake, and with Discuss Med, and today I'm interviewing Dr. Felsen about arthritis. So I guess just to begin, Dr. Felsen, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm David Felsen. I'm a professor at Boston University, and I am an arthritis doctor, and I also study arthritis.
So I guess just to begin, like, what is arthritis?
Well, arthritis is inflammation in the joints, and it's painful joints usually. And there's 100 different types. There's lots and lots of different types. And the treatment depends a little bit on the type.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned there's a lot of types. So like, what are some of the, three of the most common types?
So a lot of times the ones that people worry about getting are rheumatoid arthritis. Lupus is another type. And then the most common type is a type called osteoarthritis, which is if you have older parents or grandparents and they complain to you of how their knees and hips are achy, it's very, very likely that that's what they have, osteoarthritis.
Oh, so osteoarthritis, is that one of the most common in terms of like, is osteoarthritis only for older or can it be in younger too?
Well, it usually starts in around middle age and then increases in prevalence with age. Excuse me. Sorry. The ones that affect younger folks tend to be lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, and some juvenile arthritis tends to affect kids even. So arthritis can affect folks of any age, but it tends to be increasingly common as we get older.
Okay. And you talked about like, the aching of joints, and like I found that arthritis is the number one cause of disability in the United States. So I guess like how does, in a more I guess specific way, how does arthritis affect an individual overall and how their lifestyle?
Well, it causes your joints to hurt, and if your knees hurt, you don't want to go walking very far, and you may struggle even getting up a few steps. Hips similarly, and so. What it does is it keeps people from going out and taking walks. It keeps people from going to the store. It makes it so that, you know, they have to have help come in to help them do stuff at home. So that's the way in which arthritis causes some disability.
Well, and I actually, speaking of disability, I heard that like the financial cost of arthritis and inflammation in general and the pain induced by it in terms of productivity, treatments and all that, I've heard that it's like staggering high, like one of the most out of any sort of illnesses, which is sort of interesting because I think that arthritis, it's insanely common, but it often I heard like from at least my perspective, doesn't get as much attention as other diseases. But it's crazy. I know that once you're above 65, you could have, is it over 25%? I know like over 25% of people have it probably, and probably more.
Right. That's right. I think your guess is probably roughly correct. So, the costs are enormous. It's so common that it isn't just affecting people over age 65. One of the reasons the costs are enormous is that it affects people younger than age 65 and they can't work or they work with lots of limitations. And when that happens, it's very costly because you lose workers and you have trouble with unemployment and needing disability payments. But in addition, because knees and hips are so often painful and causes of arthritis, we often need to replace those knees and hips with artificial joints. And that's a big expense for the government and for insurers. And then lastly, some of the best treatments we have for the arthritis that affects young and middle-aged and older people, rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, are incredibly costly. So they're called biologic treatments and they cost many thousands of dollars every year. And these are among the most lucrative treatments in humanity. I mean, they're both incredibly expensive and they're needed for a large number of people. So a large number of people get them and they cost the society lots of money.
Yeah. Speaking of biologics, actually, the Discuss Med team, we recently wrote a few blog posts, but one about biologics in general, but one about specifically them for arthritis. So, like, I guess just to begin, like, could you explain like what biologics are?
So biologics are an attempt by companies, biotech companies often, to replicate a molecule in the body, or to create a molecule that goes into the body and obstructs or accelerates metabolic activities. So if there's a cytokine, for example, called tumor necrosis factor, okay, and one of the most effective treatments for rheumatoid arthritis is to get in, is to inject a biologic agent that was developed using antibodies, okay, to that tumor necrosis factor, and it blocks the action of the tumor necrosis factor, either by linking to it and making it not work anymore, or by binding to its receptor so that it can't get into cells and cause grief. And that's sort of what biologics do. They're developed as antibodies or receptor antagonists. And rather than drugs, which are, you know, small molecules, these are larger molecules. They're often antibodies, and they're developed either with human cells or with animal cells.
Oh, so like a biologic is almost like a type of anti-inflammatory?
It can be, yeah. I mean, there are different kinds of biologics, and some of them aren't necessarily anti-inflammatories, but a lot of them are, especially the ones we use to treat rheumatoid arthritis.
Because you mentioned this, and I know, like, I did research over this past summer at a research institution, and we worked with investigating, like, famotidine's anti-inflammatory effects. And a lot of what you said is sort of similar in that famotidine, being an antagonist, also has blocks the sending of pro-inflammatory cytokines. So I'm wondering, like, is that, like, ever, like, a suggestion, like, using, like, famotidine as a way to reduce arthritis inflammation?
Famotidine, I don't know about famotidine's effect, but the idea is similar, except that the difference with biologics is, rather than have a drug that might, you know, have some effect on an inflammatory process, you've got a biologic that was developed to target a very specific molecule within the body and designed and created to impair or impede the action of that molecule. So that's the difference. It wasn't a drug that was pulled off the shelf that happens to have an anti-inflammatory effect. It was a biologic that was designed and created in animals or humans, okay, to do that exactly.
Oh, wow. That's pretty advanced. That's pretty cool. So, yeah, like, would you say biologics, I know because, like, as you mentioned, like, we write a blog every month about the treatment method for the disease that we focus on, and biologics come out a lot because they're used a lot. So, like, our biologics, would you say, like, I know it's obviously hard to predict, especially the rapid pace that medicine is changing, innovations occur, but would you say that biologics are the possible, like, are they going to be the continued focus for future arthritis treatment, or is there something else that?
I think there'll be a mixture of biologics and more conventional small molecule type drugs like your friend famotidine. Mm-hmm. I think it depends a little bit on costs and how expensive things are to develop drugs, and how easy they are to manufacture. Biologics are sometimes not so easy to manufacture.
I know, like, costs, yeah. In terms of treatments, big pharmacies, big pharmaceutical companies, it's always been an issue. And I was wondering, as I shift into more like an advocacy focus, because I definitely want to focus on how, you know, why arthritis needs fighting and how we can fight it, especially with the economic burden. How do, like, I know besides like the welfare and assistance by the government, what are other ways in which people can best adjust with the economic burden that you would recommend, that especially for early onset of arthritis?
Yeah, this is challenging. So I think it, for people with arthritis, it's helpful to seek care from arthritis specialists, but also to go to places like the Arthritis Foundation that have focus groups and resources that can help you figure out how to minimize your costs, how to minimize disability, how to get help, and what other people with arthritis have done to help themselves that you can learn from. That's very valuable. So there's a lot of sort of you know, sort of socialization that occurs as you get the illness, where you learn from other people who've had the illness and who've been helped, how to go about helping yourself, and also how to minimize the costs that you might have to bear and the side effects of things that you might have to use.
So like heavy emphasis on like almost like working with community and interacting with people and learning from everyone else. And I you also mentioned the Arthritis Foundation. I know that you're like involved with it. So do you mind like quickly before I ask questions about like just explaining what the Arthritis Foundation really does like overall and your role in it?
So the Arthritis Foundation is a patient organization that really serves as an educational resource and a sort of social resource for patients with arthritis, of any kind of arthritis. And as you in your work, you know, sort of said, there's millions of people out there with arthritis, and the Arthritis Foundation really is a way station for help for many of those patients, both locally and nationally. So there's local chapters where people with arthritis get together and they can interact with one another and learn from one another, but they also attend classes where they learn about arthritis and get folks like me and others who treat patients with arthritis to sort of give them some insights into what kinds of treatments they ought to be looking for, and et cetera. There's also a research arm to the Arthritis Foundation, and I tend to be more involved in that because of my own research background.
Oh, wow. So it's sort of the Arthritis Foundation. It's about almost enabling patients for self-advocacy.
Correct.
Providing. Wow, that's it's a bit different than some of the other like past organizations that I've seen. Like it's I think it's important, obviously, patient advocacy, and it's something that that's very interesting actually, because with advocacy, I know that obviously it's important for both patients and also volunteers and getting people involved in the community as a whole. So self-advocacy is obviously a very important part in guiding patients in the right way. And in that like sort of area, I guess like it sort of was like, how can advocacy really help fight arthritis? I think it was sort of implicit, but I just want to mention that. Like,
so no. What you said earlier on when you were asking me questions, you commented on, look, you know, heart disease, cancer, you know, those are the big focus. Why isn't arthritis a bigger focus? And the answer is that mostly that heart disease and cancer kill you, and arthritis mostly does not kill you. And so we've been focused in as a society for many years on preventing the fatal outcomes of heart disease and cancer. And we've had a lot of success. So what happens if you live through cancer and heart disease is that sooner or later you get arthritis, and then you get disabled and in pain from that arthritis a lot. And so the issue is, as we live longer and more of us get arthritis, and as you said earlier, this is an incredibly disabling disease, you know, perhaps we ought to devote more resources and advocate more for research into how to prevent arthritis, how to treat it better, so that people don't suffer so much from it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually very, 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 that was very helpful, actually, that answer, because I think it does explain. Like, I did really wonder why, if you look statistically, and like at just the figures, arthritis clearly has such a big impact on society, just by the number of people that get it economically. It even, I've read, shortens your lifespan in some cases by a somewhat considerable margin.
Right.
So I think even if, like you said, it's not always deadly, it definitely impedes on one's quality of life.
Right.
So I definitely think, like, how do you recommend, is something I always like to go, is like, then not just talk about why advocacy is important, but explain to people how you can get involved in advocacy. And we do provide a good amount of like opportunities or recommended things and like research, discussment research to a lot of like some of the bigger organizations and try to find opportunities that seem impactful. But how would you recommend, as someone who's been working with arthritis patients for a while now, How would you recommend that people do get involved in advocacy? Like, what activities have you found to be?
Well, I think the Arthritis Foundation creates a good opportunity for people of any age to get involved and to provide advocacy. But I think there's also, you know, call your congressperson and say it would be a good idea to think about providing more money for the disability elements of OA, of arthritis that affect people, and also to encourage more research in that area so that there would be less suffering. I think those are all effective. I think for younger people, there's enough folks with disability out there, either young and old, that helping them with tasks, with things they need to do in their daily lives that they're unable to do, would be of great help to them. That's got to be part of the advocacy too, I think.
Yeah. That's actually interesting because that doesn't come up too much. I think when I discuss advocacy with other people and even when I'm doing my own research or define the word myself. And I think that's sort of important, like that direct patient interaction and also just like directly helping someone. It's a right. great thing to do. And actually, especially with arthritis, it's a little more accessible of a thing to do, especially how prevalent it is. And it's definitely, yeah, that's actually a really interesting way of thinking about advocacy. Right. I had to mention. And I definitely think I guess that sort of goes into my really last question is overall, what is the importance, at least from your perspective, of getting the youth specifically involved in advocacy? Because I know that's something, yeah.
That so I think there, as we said, there's a few opportunities here for youth to get involved. One is there's a kind of arthritis that you mentioned earlier that tends to affect young people and young adults. And some of the time that can be really devastating. I mean, here's a young person who's growing and physically active and suddenly they're pulled away from all of those things by a disabling, painful disease that makes it so that they can't, you know, interact well with other kids, friends and colleagues and can't participate in sports, sometimes can't go to school. You know, these are big problems for those folks. And then rheumatoid arthritis, which is a common disease, affects adults of all ages, really. Kids can help out patients with rheumatoid arthritis who need assistance sometimes. And then lastly, there's advocacy for arthritis in general as an important disease that causes lots of disability that, as you said, is really among the most disabling diseases in the world and in the United States and even more in third world countries, I think. Uh-huh. So there's a lot of opportunity here.
And I wanted to harp on something that you said before, earlier in that statement, about like how, you know, young people with arthritis can't participate in so many activities. It's sort of limiting in some respects, and sort of like the importance of inclusivity in that area. And also just being like, I feel like even with advocacy, it doesn't have to be so much, again, like formal actions. It can just be being kind and being welcoming to people. And I think that's sort of something really important that you said that I definitely agree.
And I think people with arthritis are, you know, the Americans for Disability Act years ago, you know, made it possible for folks with all kinds of disabling diseases to participate as full members in society. And that's what arthritis patients want. They want to be considered by all of us as equal members of that society. And to the extent that we can help them be equal members by getting them, by having them remain in jobs, by making it possible for them to attend school, by giving them the opportunity to get what they need to avoid disability, then that's a win-win. That's a good thing.
Wow. Okay. I think that this was quite informative, especially I learned a lot just about arthritis and ways I can get involved in many ways that I didn't even think about to mention them, which is very helpful. And I hope many people will take away, like, because again, I think that youth have such a, you know, there's a vitality and an energy that many people have that can be very useful if channeled properly. And I know, some people say that I've heard, like, when I interview some others, and some I interviewed, they used like a metaphor of like a snowball, and the idea that if you start, if someone starts advocating early, they just pick up traction and it just keeps going into something bigger. So I definitely think, like, what you said is really important, and that youth getting involved is a way to make an impactful change, even young. So again, like, really, thank you for.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Good luck, Jake. Very nice questions.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.